This is Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! It's yes. Beans! Before the show, Frank and I were talking about the birth of Aurora.
Yeah, which is forthcoming, by the way. She wasn't born.
No, yeah.
It's forthcoming. She's...
Whoops.
Like, don't tell anybody. I want to keep this a secret.
Yeah, no. I'm so excited.
5 years goes by. Has Aurora been born yet? No, we're still waiting. She's not ready yet.
Oh, I cannot wait. I'm so excited for that little one to come. Oh, goodness.
I know. I just wish that she, then again, I don't wish for anything except for whatever the hell happened. As long as she's healthy, but it would have been fun if she was born in like early August, because then I may have been able to find a way to go out to that walkaway thing in Washington, D.C.
You know, Helga's coming. Oh,
I'm going to miss out on some great, great folks out there.
Yeah, I'm sad that you won't be there, but
it'll be all right.
You know, you've got a baby now and almost.
Yeah,
everyone's going to think we're lying now and she actually was born.
It's a new conspiracy theory. It's a new theory.
The theory also is that we're married, Frank, and it's a big ruse. That's another one I've seen floating around.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm like, trust me. That's not the case. Very good friends.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way that we could have done this 700 miles apart either way.
No. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. A lot. So I don't know. You probably didn't have a chance to, but yesterday I interviewed Akeem Alptekin.
Yes.
And you know who was nice enough to cut that up for me? Josh.
Who?
Of course.
Oh, well, very good of him.
Yeah. So I figured we would play a few clips because he went off on some people that... So this is Akeem, who I have to keep on reminding myself how exactly to pronounce his name. He... was the guy who brought the Turkey Flynn Intel Group stuff to General Flynn.
Okay.
He was the man who engaged Flynn Intel Group to do this work for Turkey. And a lot of people don't know his name or that he exists at all, but he does. And he did a really fantastic interview yesterday because guess what? He's sitting in Turkey right now with six charges from the Mueller probe on him.
Which is another one. It's pretty much the equivalent of the Mueller probe in indicting 24 Russian nationals.
Yeah, except he's an actual person that is saying that he told me yesterday, he said, they're saying the government of Turkey was indirectly involved with paying for this, or that I took money from the government of Turkey and then filtered it through to the Flynn Intel Group. And he's saying they didn't even go to my bank to check my bank records. He's like, they asked in Kian's trial, the one that got overturned, the conviction. Uh-huh. He said they asked on the stand, they asked the FBI if they checked the bank records. And the FBI said no. So how the hell...
Honestly, Tracy, everything is so shallow and there's so much going on that is just for appearances.
Yeah.
That's just really it. Everybody's just skating on thin ice and there's just a bog underneath.
That's the thing when they talked about, you know, how Kleinsmith, it didn't say in his papers that he was cooperating. The only reason they said that in Papadopoulos and Flynn's papers was because of the political ramifications of thinking that former allies of the president were cooperating with the Mueller probe. It was all for appearances. They don't need Kleinsmith to be cooperating if they've already allowed him to only plead guilty to a 1001 charge. They already got his cooperation, and a bunch of very seasoned U.S. attorneys have said as much. So let's just listen to this is one of the key things that in this Farah case that has always been of contention, that General Flynn sat and met with officials from Turkey. Here, Akeem explains that meeting.
feel so bad for General Flynn and for the other people involved, because I really pushed that meeting, because I was there as the chairman of the trade organization. We always go there every September, and we have business events in the margins of the United Nations General Assembly. So we've been doing that for decades. While we're in town, obviously the American administration is there, the Turkish delegation is there. I thought it was a good opportunity for me to introduce the minister, the relevant ministers, and General Flynn, because I was hoping that they would continue this contract after me. At that time, I was already engaged with them. Imagine a government, they're saying that the government of Turkey paid for this. Imagine a government paying for paying someone that they've never met. It's unheard of. I mean, they would never. I can tell you, I know the Turkish government very well. I never worked for them, but I've interacted with them a lot. They would never hire a company that they've never met. And the first time they meet General Flynn and Bijan Kian and two others, it was September 19. It was in the margins of the UN General Assembly. And I have to convince both sides and push really hard to go to that meeting. So I think General Flynn felt I was a nice guy, didn't want to say no to me. I mean, I was a customer after all. And the Turkish side didn't want to say no to the chairman of a trade organization that produces 70% of the economy. I think we met around 9 p.m. after they both delegations were finished with their official meetings.
So basically what he's saying is that was, I pushed that meeting so hard and I feel horrible about it. Nobody wanted to meet with the, like, we General Flynn didn't want to let me down because I was a customer and a nice guy. And the Turkish government didn't want to say to a man who's running a trade organization whose businesses provide 70% of the Turkish economy, no, I don't want to. We're not sitting with. You know what I'm saying?
So he feels guilty for actually having given the this international scam some fodder to use.
Yeah, basically. And this happened before the election.
And just to think how there was other people who were actually playing more insidious roles, or they're actually trying to set up people within the Trump's orbit, if not Trump himself, by overplaying their enthusiasm in other ways. Like, you remember when we were talking about, our boy, Trump's our boy and he's Putin's. Who's the one that said that?
It was Sater.
Sater. So in some places you see all of this BS kind of enthusiasm to show like there's something going on. And here's a guy who now regrets his enthusiasm because it's being used in this kind of a way.
The crazy thing is, too, is they asked him. He told me that they asked him, I want you to write down every Russian you know. And he was like, I don't know anybody who's Russian. He's like, I'm sitting there looking. He was laughing. He's like, I'm looking around like, who the hell am I going to write down? I don't even know any Russians. Here, this is one of the more poignant parts of this interview. He says a lot of stuff about former CIA director Woosley. Here.
The contract. And the idea that a former CIA director would overhear something like this in a meeting, and he's lying through his teeth because he said he came in later. He didn't come in later. And I told the prosecutor, I told Brandon from Brett, you can check the limousine hours, you can check his cell phone time. You know, they have means that we don't have. I hired an investigator, paid another $10,000 for that, but the camera records of the hotel were erased.
So, of course.
But I'm sure Brett from Brett wanted to. He would be able to find those records because, he has access to NYPD records and all sorts of stuff. So the guy was lying. He was there the entire meeting. We never discussed anything like that.
He's talking about, real quick, he's talking about, they said that Akeem advanced a plot to try to kidnap Gulen from Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And then asked him if there was any way that they could do that together.
Okay.
All right, so here.
Didn't even come up as a joke or anything. And imagine if it had come up. Do you think this guy would meet me the day after in a hotel to discuss another contract? A former CIA director, you would expect him to go to the police immediately or to go to a prosecutor. There was one smart journalist who actually asked him. He said, "You know, why didn't you do something? I mean, why are you here now, 7 months later, telling the story?" And he said, "Why? I informed Joe Biden through a friend. I mean, I mean, if my mother would say that, I would maybe believe it. But a former CIA director, he doesn't know what to do. He should have picked up the phone, called the FBI or someone. I mean, imagine, I've been in D.C., in and out of the United States for several times afterwards. I've lived with my family there for several months in that same period. Do you think if we were discussing illegal action on U.S. soil and a former CIA director in good conscience overheard this discussion, do you think I would be able to get in and out of the United States? It makes no sense whatsoever."
He is very... It was a great interview.
I listened to that. I'm saying to myself, you know, to hear what people have made of situations like his, I can understand why. It's, I mean, you know, you think of a rumor like, you know, I think Frank and Tracy are really actually married. You're just like, you know, anything could be possible. If they turn Svetlana Lakova into General Flynn's mistress, and that was something else. This guy, I mean, you just what can you believe?
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy, and not only that, but
used and just they're like the every
yeah. The Senate Intelligence Report. I know you sent that over yesterday. That New York Times article you wanted me to try to rebut. And I sat down to start working on it. And honestly, I really did spend a few hours on it yesterday. And I'm like, screw these people. Because the whole thing is such nonsense. Like the Twitter account that they say belonged to Constantine, our favorite Russian spy, wasn't even his Twitter account. The guy that runs the Twitter account talked to Aaron Maté, a journalist, and said, I'm not the same guy. I don't know what they're... I mean... There's so much, it's just, it's nonsense. So that interview with Akeem yesterday was really good. I'll put it in the show notes for everybody today to listen to. Spend the hour and listen to what he has to say. Do it.
And now that was on your radio show?
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting. How's that been going, by the way?
Good. It's a little weird. You know, I'm getting used
Why?
To it.
Why? Just because segments and breaks and what is it?
It's only one break. It's not that. It's just that I'm talking for an hour, and usually I have the liberty, even on the podcast here, we have the liberty if things kind of wind down to end. Mm-hmm. But I don't have the liberty to end when I want. So like if I'm 45 minutes in and my material just didn't last as long as I thought it would, I've got 15 minutes to fill up with something.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's why you should always have like a question. You should have questions from the audience, from Twitter.
Well,
the night before broadcast, you should always, you know, scan some audience, like start a thread on Twitter. So you have endless amount of stuff to go to.
Yeah, I know. I'll fix it. It's okay. And we just really busy October, guys. So the first weekend of October is obviously the walkaway march on Washington in D.C., which I'm helping to plan again this year. And then the week after that is the American Priority Conference in Miami at Trump Doral. And if you want to buy tickets to that, I will put the link in the description or the show notes for you guys, too, because that's going to be so much fun. Both of these events are going to be absolutely amazing. So
I can't believe we're talking about October. We're talking about October again. Oh, man.
It was the fastest year and the worst year ever.
It really was. It really, really was.
My kids have been home with me for over 6 months now every single day. And you'd think that would have made things take longer. But it has flown by. And we were talking yesterday about it, actually, me and my husband. We have gone through 6 full months of spending basically 24 hours a day together, all of us, when the kids are not out playing or whatever outside. We have not had one argument. We have not had one blowout family argument. Not one.
It's good.
It's amazing. It's really it's amazing. Good. Because usually, by now,
no, it's testament. It's like you know that's the whole thing there too. I was wondering about this yesterday. No, 2 nights ago when I was going to go pick up some food from the diner. I said, you know, thinking about all these people who probably at first, when it was like late March and the virus its coverage was so dire and everybody was getting it, really felt like the entire country was preparing for a nationwide snowstorm. Yeah. Everybody was like, okay, well, there's going to be a lockdown starting on Monday. Let's go out. Everybody go out shopping. Everybody's getting cookie dough and milk. And you know, it's like a snowstorm's coming in. We're going to have to shack up. It's going to be really cozy. And I think that we started making jokes about all of the quarantine babies that were going to be born in December. Then I started thinking, wow, imagine all those quarantine babies were going to be born in December from parents who have already been divorced because they couldn't last 5 more weeks after conception living together. You know, but then again, there's the other side. You've had a great experience. Lauren and I loved being home with her every day. And I can't wait. And now that we have the baby coming, she's going to have to stay home even more. And it's going to be great.
Yeah, it is. It's good when you have good relationships. I mean, I'm sure every family has had some sort of we're probably very weird, and it'll happen eventually. You know,
Everybody needs time. And let me also just say, everybody needs time apart. Everybody needs personal time. I mean, and that's the other reason why healthy relationships are able to remain healthy, because there's time for everybody to be alone and to be in silence and to just get lost in something for themselves. You need, as an individual person, you need that. So I'm not saying that you are deficient in some way if you've butted heads with another ego sometime over the last 6 to 8 months. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone thought that, but the disclaimer is good. Brian just sent a little thread from Elizabeth Harrington of the RNC that says, yikes, Dems have become angry third-rate conspiracy theorists. And I'm going to play it because it's really funny. They're doing some virtual live stream, and I don't think this one dude, whoever it is, I think it's Senator Carper. He doesn't realize that the camera's on him, and he... Hold on. Listen to this. Here we go.
We'll move on to Senator Langford.
What? Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Carper is there. I think he's trying to be able to cue it all up right now.
That was him screaming obscenities at his staffer.
Whoa, did he just say FFF?
Yes. They can't get the text. You know how when you talk, the Zoom picks you up?
Yeah.
If you talk, it goes to you. That's what happened in that clip, and he didn't want that to happen. He wasn't muted.
Oh, man.
And then somebody said in the comments underneath, always assume a gun is loaded and always assume you're not actually muted.
Yeah, I hear that, and the first thing I think about is just all of those fake plastic faces from last night. After the show, me and Anthony and Mike, we went to go hang out with our buddies Rob and Murr, and we sat down for about an hour and just relaxed a little bit, and we put on the convention, and it was just, I can't, to call it fake is just an understatement. To call the acting is so bad. Cory Booker is such a embarrassing, cringy actor.
Look,
it's of course that kind of rage is living underneath this stupid pious act that they're putting on out there. Nobody could be this pious. Of course it's an act. Of course they're FFF whenever the camera's off. Of course.
The funniest thing happened last night. They tried to do this.
It's
Andrew Yang and Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Oh, bad.
Did you see it?
She is so unfunny.
I know. She's horrible. Let's play here.
This is Julia Louise Dreyfus. Hey, Julia.
Hi, Andrew. I'm so glad to see you. So what did you think about Kamala Harris's speech last night?
It was tremendous. I was so happy for her.
I know. Me too. She's fabulous. I cannot wait to see her debate our current vice president, Mika Pence. Or is it Pence?
It's pronounced Pence, I believe.
Oh,
some kind of weird foreign name?
Yeah, not very American sounding.
Yeah, that's what people are saying strongly. Well, thank you, Andrew.
And that's supposed to be a joke.
Now, you see, here's the thing here, Tracy. Somebody out there defending this crap will say, well, you know, it is a little awkward because there's no audience. I do jokes all night without a laugh track, and I still know that they're funny most of the time. Okay? These are inept people. And Andrew Yang should have just went on out there, had somebody he should have just squirted whipped cream in somebody's mouth and pretended it was spring break, and that would have been more entertaining than this crap.
We're gonna go back to this in a second, but we have to thank we have a couple of sponsors today, which is a blessing. So we have to thank Simply Safe, Frank.
Oh, I need one of these.
It's on its way. It'll be there in a day.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though, about home security companies. Most of them, they put you in this thing with high prices, tricky contracts, lousy customer support. So while there's a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer, which is Simply Safe. It has everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security, an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window, door, tailored specifically for you and your home. And professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical if there's an emergency. It's so easy to set up. Yours is on its way. I have mine.
Why didn't you tell me I was going to get one of these?
Because I was making it a surprise.
Gee, this is. I'll tell you why this is awesome. Because A, I've heard these commercials all over the place. And B, I was just talking about it with my buddy Mike before, and I was going to start investing in a few property webcam systems and things like that, because there has been a rash. Of course, New York is completely burning, but there's been a rash of people coming from as far as Hartford, Connecticut, into our county to steal cars and to test doorknobs on houses lately.
Well, you're not going to have to worry about that anymore, because you will have this really simple, easy to set up in less than an hour system.
Hell yeah.
No contract, no hidden fees, no fine print, just $15 a month. Make sure you go to try Simply Safe today at simplysafe.com/darktolight. You get free shipping, 60-day risk-free trial, and there's nothing to lose. That's simplysafe.com/darktolight. I've got it. It's already done.
I can't. I'm so excited.
Yep. Thank you, Simply Safe. So Andrew Yang, I posted retweeted it, and I posted a photo of him spraying whipped cream into young man's mouth, and said that's funnier.
And it is. I'm glad you did that, because that's the first thing I thought of. I said, this guy should have just stuck to squirting whipped cream, doing whippets with college kids. And that would be with, I remember his campaign manager standing behind him like, this is awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can't believe you're doing this, Andrew. But that wasn't it from Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She had another couple of, you know, presenter kind of role segments that they gave her. I didn't walk in on that. I saw that clip that you just played there this morning. But there was more time that she had on screen that we were all just looking at each other and saying, oh, man.
She should just stick to being Elaine and dancing like a weirdo, really?
Yeah.
This entire thing was just a complete debacle. The whole thing was a debacle. And what got me is towards the end of his speech, I only saw the end of it. I didn't see the middle, but it was crazy, Frank. Joe Biden's speech, it was nuts. And he says the weirdest thing at the end. I'm going to play it real quick. I'm going to play the last 30 seconds when he's really hitting a crescendo. He's really getting into it. Frankie's super passionate. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Mission. May history be able to say that the end of this chapter of American darkness began here tonight as love and hope and light join in the battle for the soul of the nation. And this is a battle we will win, and we'll do it together. I promise you. Thank you, and may God bless you, and may God protect our troops.
Good night. Troops?
What?
What? What the hell are you talking about? I mean, this is not 2004.
What? Now, of course I want God to protect our troops.
But he mixed a speech from 2004 with this.
He was supposed to say, and may God bless America.
Our troops.
And may God protect our troops.
What? Well, hey, you know what? I guess it is because, you know, this year has been the year where pretty much coronavirus is a war. And everybody believes in one way or another that they're a veteran of a war right now. That's what you know, I was around for the coronavirus.
May God protect our troops.
That was just completely out of place.
What?
Well, like you said,
that's
of
how he
course,
ended. That's
protect
the
troops.
That's the last thing he said. I'm like,
American, this chapter in American darkness, this is something that they brought up a lot, that we have to move out of this chapter of darkness. It's been a very dark 4 years.
You want to play a little game real quick?
Sure.
I'm going to just move the slider to some random place in the speech and play it. All right. We're at 8:44.
And deploy rapid tests with results available immediately. We'll make the medical supplies and protective equipment that our country needs. And we'll make them here in America so we will never again be at the mercy of China or other foreign countries in order to protect our own people.
Wait, what?
Well, that's what Donald Trump campaigned on in 2016, Joe. You're 4 years behind.
He did that already.
Getting out from underneath China's wing, getting out off of China dependency. That was 2016. You all scoffed at him.
Oh, my gosh. Then this was really funny. they had Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, who vouched for Joe Biden's honesty at the nominating convention. Someone said this. It's so funny. And if there's anyone you can count on to be a good judge of character and honesty, it's a married crackhead who banged his dead brother's wife, knocked up a stripper, then denied paternity, and took millions of dollars from a corrupt Ukrainian corporation.
That's a beautiful summation of this man's life. That's a beautiful summation of his life.
I wonder how long that clip is. I didn't expect to be playing this, but I think that maybe we'll need to listen to some Hunter. What do you say?
Yeah, sure. I never heard it.
I think that it's mandatory. Let's see how long it is, though. So I have a whole bunch of things to talk about today because this convention was just crazy. And before I play this, which is here, I don't know how long is it?
I'm Hunter Biden. And I'm at
56 seconds. Okay, so I have a great clip or article up at uncoverdc.com by Shipwrecked Crew, Frank, that you really should. You might want to read some excerpts of it today on the show.
All right.
It is an explainer. Literally everything you need to know about grand juries and how they work. Who can talk after them, what a special grand jury is, how the process works, what you need, you know, what the rules are, how things are cataloged. I mean, it is the Bible of grand juries, how prosecutors use them, different strategies to use them. He goes into all kinds of awesome stuff in this article. It's 4,000 words, but I had to put it up in all in one piece. It was just too good to split.
Well, this is great. And what do you, obviously it's just good to know these things, especially since we're in this time of wondering who is getting nabbed for what is working. Is there anything going on behind the scenes? If it's going on, I guess that's a good way of telling who may be involved in what based on what they're allowed to say and do.
Yes. And I say that because we're about to listen to a clip of Hunter Biden. So I figured, why not talk about grand juries?
Okay.
So, here.
Biden.
Joe Biden is our dad.
And Beau is our brother.
We want to tell you what kind of president our dad will be.
He will be tough.
And honest.
Caring and principled.
He'll listen. He'll be there when you need him.
He'll tell you the truth, even when you don't want to hear it.
He'll never let you down.
He'll be rock steady.
The strongest shoulder you can ever lean on.
He'll beam with pride every time you succeed.
He'll make your grandkids feel that what they've got to say matters.
He'll treat everyone with respect, no matter.
I'm not even going to listen to the rest of it because, first of all, Hunter Biden in this looks exactly like, what's his name, Ben Stiller from Zoolander.
Yeah, okay. See, I think I did see a little bit of this, and it's disturbing because I didn't think it was actually Hunter Biden.
Yeah, that's him.
So what happened to him? He doesn't look like his pictures, his past pictures at all.
They probably gave him some plastic surgery like everyone else on the left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
So, and then, you know, let's go back to Joe Biden's speech real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make sure our schools have the resources they need to be open, safe, and effective. We'll put politics aside. We'll take the muzzle off our experts so the public gets the information they need and deserve. Honest, unvarnished truth. They can handle it. We'll have a national mandate to wear a mask, not as a burden, but as a patriotic duty to protect one another.
Oh, my God.
In short, we'll do what we should have done from the very beginning. Our current president has failed in his most basic duty to the nation. He's failed to protect us. He's failed to protect America. And my fellow Americans, that is unforgivable. As president, I'll make you a promise.
I'll
protect America. I will defend us from every attack, seen and unseen.
Seen and unseen. The attacks, seen and unseen.
The unseen attacks are the ones that really get you.
But he'll protect us from them.
Oh, he'll be there. He will be the shield in the night.
Standing strong with his vice president in front of him.
That's it, with a diaper full of crap.
Standing strong, Frank.
Diaper full of crap and a belly full of Ensure.
So reporters were told to hurry outside after Biden concluded his speech.
Oh, this little pathetic stampede. This was such a pathetic. You know what this reminded me of? I'm going to play it tonight. You know, in Step Brothers, when John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, they ask their parents if they can build bunk beds. And they said, finally, they go, yes, you can build the bunk bed.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
This is the funnest night ever. And they all run away excited. And it's so pathetic, this little stampede of losers.
It's literally all the press corps that were there. First of all, all of them are not wearing their masks, which I think is funny. But they all literally, they're like, okay, hurry along now. Here, let's see if we can hear anything. Yeah, we can. Yeah. Hurry up, guys. Hurry up. You hear the shoes clanking.
Clippity-clop.
Hurry up, guys. You want to get outside. You'll miss the fireworks. That's literally what happened.
I want a fireworks in an ice cream truck, I'm sure. Fireworks in an ice cream truck. These abused children. Abused children in like 57-year-old bodies.
Oh, my God.
God, running in high heels. The clippity-clop. I can't. The imagery of everything is so disturbing.
Man, oh, man. So, yeah, they just, you know, like the good little servants they are. They just run along. Run along. And then to see the fawning of some of these folks. I'm looking at my Twitter account, like literally in the past 15, 20 minutes, Frank, I've lost like 300 followers. 300. This is insane. It's insane. I don't know what's going on here.
The purging?
The purge.
I lost 100 followers too.
See? What is going on here? Now.
And I only know that because just like yesterday or the day before, I noticed that I hit 35,000 followers. And,
yeah, so you'll know when you go back down under that.
Yeah.
So.
No, I don't care. Whatever.
You don't care. And that I get it. I care because the more people are following me, the more I have hopefully the opportunity to get information to them. Mm-hmm. I don't give a crap about the popularity aspect of it. I just want people to see what I'm doing. What is the point if nobody sees it? Sorry. Anyway,
but what they're saying is, Tracy, that they're not actually people. They're getting rid of bots.
Whatever. I've done an audit on my Twitter account. They're not bots. Freaking ridiculous. And
I gotta do an audit.
Do an audit. And somebody yesterday said, I'm bringing Larry Schweikert. Professor Larry is coming on board to do 3 times a week. He's going to write a column on like leading up to the election about numbers and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be great. And he announced it yesterday. And somebody underneath said, "You're smart. Why would you work with her? And she's wrong all the time." And I said, "Can I have some examples of when I'm wrong? Like, what is this all the time?" So this person said that she tried listening to the podcast, but all I did was talk. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do on a podcast other than talk? Frank.
I don't know. Hum.
Was that better?
I thought that you were just about to hum the song from Willy Wonka. You know that one?
Yes, I do. I do.
The Gene Wilder one, not the Johnny Depp crackhead one.
Oh, God, what did they do to that movie?
It's a collective they.
Yeah, it is a collective they. So outside of the convention yesterday, this is absolutely abhorrent and gross. I was watching and this is a clip of the somebody interviewing a Biden supporter outside of the convention.
The only Joe Biden fan at Joe Biden's acceptance speech?
Everybody down there is Trump.
So you're the only Joe Biden?
There's probably maybe 4 of us, but I don't know who cares.
You're at Joe Biden's acceptance speech in Delaware, and there's no one here to support Joe Biden?
I'm here.
It's me.
So he says all down there is all Trump supporters. I can't go over there.
Why wouldn't you? You should go. I mean, go on over there. Just talk.
We wouldn't hit you.
No, definitely. You're not going to get punched. I promise you.
Somebody posted a clip. Well, Benny posted a clip of this poor 7-year-old being attacked by these 2 girls outside.
I saw it.
They steal his hat. They steal his signs. They trample all over it. Now, his mom sends him in to get his hat back, which I think is just absolutely insane. But I guess she's trying to teach him a lesson. I don't know. But they literally go on to assault. And this is something else. They throw his hat. The poor kid's crying his eyes out. Looks like they found these 2 heathen, disgusting women.
Oh, good.
Yeah. One of them appears to be the daughter of one of the people who runs USAID.
Another untouchable, I assume.
Yeah. This poor kid, my heart broke.
Now, I saw that, and I've been trying to watch less and less of those videos. I just can't stand it. I can't stand it anymore. Now, I know what it's all about, and I got to say, when G. Edward Griffin comes on the show, whenever that happens, the real thing I'd love to talk to him about, what I want to ask about is, he did some great breakdowns in like the late 60s, early 70s about communism and how communism has been used to, especially how the civil rights movement in the civil rights movements of the 1960s was mostly communist puppetry. Mostly, absolutely was. And of course, that was another, there's so much there that we're working through right now. And I was watching all this stuff and I watched that little kid and then I watched other people getting beaten in the streets. And it really, I have to limit it because it almost like invites you to start once again creating that self-fulfilling prophecy that the left wants. They want you to hate people for external reasons, their sex, their race, whatever the hell it is, when it is a large net that they have cast. And of course, and also in the, because once again, you look at women like that assault a 7-year-old, or you look at a black teenager from Portland that kicks a white man in the face after they drag him out of a truck. And then of course you see the black Trump supporters in Delaware calling out Joe Biden, and you see all these other people who are just, you know, they are real Americans They are the real Americans there that have not been sucked into an international plot that doesn't care about race, but only uses race and sex as a weapon. And that's what the balancing act that we always that we're doomed to have to master here. Because whereas two women like that, who are just vile parts of society, need to be exposed and need to be brought to justice wherever they can. At the same time, we also have to try to make sure that this doesn't stain our souls, because that's the real collateral damage of all of this.
It's I talked to somebody yesterday who said they can't even watch television anymore because they've never had a racist bone in their body their entire life.
Yep. And that's why they do it.
Yep.
And this is why they do it, because they want you to come across. Yeah, they want you to generalize. They want you to just, ugh.
Yeah, they're making racists out of people by what they're doing. And people are realizing it. So that's good. It's good. Hey, guess what, Frank?
Yeah.
The show today is also brought to you by our good friends at Native.
Oh, I love Native.
I love Native, too.
Seriously, it's I mean, we got a sampler.
Yep.
What 4 months ago?
Yeah.
We were both given a sampler 4 months ago for this deodorant, and since then I have bought four more sticks on Amazon because I love it so much.
I know. I wish you would go to nativedeo.com to buy them.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll do that. Do we have a promo code that I can use?
We do. /darkdelight.
I've been helping Jeff Bezos over here.
So Native deodorant doesn't just block out odor better, but it's made better. It actually has ingredients like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. It's vegan, doesn't test on animals. Aluminum, which is in most deodorants, is why you feel so stuffy and gross. It forms a plug in your sweat gland, and that's what keeps you from sweating. That's just think about that. Ugh. That's why Native doesn't use any of that stuff. No aluminums, no parabens, no sulfates, no talc. If you switch to an aluminum-free deodorant...
No cocaine in there.
Zero. If you switch to an aluminum-free deodorant, it doesn't mean you have to sacrifice on the protection either. What scent did you choose?
Oh, eucalyptus. What is it? Eucalyptus mint? What is it?
Cucumber and mint.
No. I thought eucalyptus is...
They have a seasonal, so you probably got the eucalyptus one in a seasonal.
Okay, well, I haven't. I would try the cucumber mint, but I'm still on the eucalyptus. It was the first thing I picked, and I fell in love with it instantly, so I just kept buying it.
Yeah, I have coconut and vanilla, and that's the one that I use every day. It smells like a creamy bath lotion or something. It's freaking amazing. So it's yeah, they have lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, citrus and herbal, and again, the coconut and vanilla ladies. I'm telling you, it's risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping within the United States and 30-day returns and exchanges in case you wanted to try a different one if you didn't like the one you got. See why so many people love Native. Check out over 14,000 five-star reviews. Do what I did. Make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/darktolightfrank or use promo code DARKTOLIGHT at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/darktolight or use promo code DARKTOLIGHT at checkout for 20% off your first order.
And now I know.
Ching!
And now I know.
So we were talking also about the ratings online. Uncover DC posted a piece about the ratings for this putrid ratings for the convention, but we have a video to listen to in a second to example, you know, it was a news report that went on, but Monday, right, the DNC was down 25% from their equivalent night in 2016. The six biggest TV networks averaged a combined total of 19 million viewers during the 10 p.m. hour, which was the only hour NBC, ABC, and CBS showed live. The same six networks had almost 25 million viewers combined during the first night of the DNC in 2016. But the DNC is saying, well, that's because everyone was watching online. But Tuesday was no better. 48% drop off in viewership.
48%.
And The total viewership on the first night of the 2020 convention was 18.6 million, an overall decrease of 27% from 2016. Michelle Obama was the first one, right? The first big one. She bombed. Guess who beat her out?
Who?
Kim Klasick.
Oh, Kim. Wait. Beat her out where?
On for impressions and digital views.
Oh, okay. I played Kim Klasick's video last night with Rob. She's awesome.
She's amazing.
That's exactly like, and I played it. The reason why we played it was to hold it up against Kamala Harris's comments about, you know, pretty much being black is a pre-existing condition and how the virus knows what kind of a toll racism has had on black and brown and indigenous bodies, and that's why they're more susceptible. And then we played Kim Klasick's video, which paints a much different picture. It seems like liberalism is a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
And she's a breath of fresh air. I really hope she if she doesn't win her district, I hope she at least sticks around and keeps doing the work that she does.
She came, yeah, she's amazing. I've been watching her since she first hit the scene a while back when the cleanup was going on in Baltimore. Joe Biden would need about 20 million more viewers from last night to tie Obama's 08 convention. Mm-hmm. And 20 million more viewers from last night. Oh, I'm sorry, I said that already. And there is no way, even if everybody that watched the Super Bowl watched the convention, they wouldn't even match up to their combined viewership totals from 2016. And not only that, listen to this. This is something. Hold on.
On YouTube, see live streams on YouTube mysteriously lost thousands of dislikes overnight, including two live streams by Joe Biden's official campaign channel and NBC. NTD's Miguel Moreno has more on that.
A number of YouTube channels stream night two of the Democratic National Convention. We noticed that several of the live streams were getting more dislikes than likes or were about tied, so we took screenshots for future reference. The next day, we found that the number of dislikes for at least three channels dropped by the thousands. For example, DNC live streams from NBC and Joe Biden's official campaign channel dropped by over 2,000 dislikes each, but their likes only went up. Political analyst Nicholas Giordano says there's no doubt in his mind that social media platforms are manipulating views, likes, and dislikes behind the scenes for political reasons.
What I know is that social media certainly supports the left. They're certainly the ones that support Kamala Harris and the Joe Biden ticket. There's no doubt about that. And so they're certainly trying to help them. And I think that's what you're seeing there. I think that they are censoring conservative voices that are disliking those videos, and even moderate voices that are disliking those videos.
That guy right there, he is a professor at Suffolk College.
I have a theory, another theory though, Tracy. Perhaps maybe all the people who had liked those videos had a change of heart later on. And maybe they weren't being deleted by YouTube and things like that. And they were just reconsidering their position. And they realized it was actually a wonderful night with a very resonating message.
No, I think that Democrats don't change their mind.
Mm.
Ever.
Okay.
About anything.
Well, that's another thing there, too. You know, he's talking about how these media organizations are obviously very, very left and in the bag for Harris and Biden and all that stuff. Well, I was watching last night, whatever I did watch with the guys, and there was this one little section there where they cut away to Joe Biden sitting down in a studio somewhere and pretending to speak to four other Americans all over the country who are expressing their family values and this and that. They're trying to really humanize him and show how moderate the Democrat Party is and how they only care about working families and allowing you to plot your own path in life and not have your life plotted out for you. But there is I'm looking at this here, and we're looking at the cuts and the edits, and I'm saying you want to talk about support from the media, the editing and the cuts, the manpower, the production power that went in just to make Joe Biden seem competent enough to hold a conversation with multiple people at the same time is staggering. You want to talk about where the media lies as far as their support goes. if this convention was broadcast in its entirety on Fox News on or if the RNC was broadcast in its entirety on CNN like they did for the DNC, there would be a disclaimer going across the bottom of the screen. There would be subtitles to rebut and live fact check everything that's said. They would cut away every 10 minutes for in-studio analysis of everything that was said to make sure that people are thinking the right way and interpreting what's being said. It's a completely embraced production.
You know what happened during the production, Frank?
What?
President Trump's approval rating went up 3 points.
I saw Rasmussen said he went up to 51 in the last couple of days.
Yes. And not only that, but this happened outside, and you're going to think this is funny. I swore that if I ever heard this chant ever again, I would lose my mind, but I like what these folks have done with it. There's like 60 or 70 of them saying, one of them has a cutout of Biden when he's sniffing the girl's hair and she's wearing it. Like there's a space for her to stand in it and it's over her. And it's Joe Biden with his hand sniffing the hair. It's so funny.
Wow.
So like it looks like he's sniffing her hair because she's holding it on herself. Am I making sense to you?
Yes. Yes. But yeah, I know what you mean, though, too. The chant that you never wanted to hear again. But Creepy Joe Has Got to Go is pretty good.
Yes. We'll end on this. This is still going on in Portland, and it's not working out so well for people anymore. Here. This is... I want you to listen to towards the end of this, which I'll... They're in a residential neighborhood now, screaming at a man who has an American flag on his porch.
Oh.
Hey, right here is another example of white men feeling comfortable. I bet you've never had a struggle in your life. Ever. Your flag does not represent justice and liberty for all. Your flag represents incarcerated black bodies. Black bodies being killed innocently for what?
Put her down.
Oh my.
You're not worth anything, but it's not because you're black. You're not worth anything, and you're not going anywhere in life. And because you can't compete, and because you're such a loser, is why you're standing outside of somebody's home screaming at them because they're waving the American – they have set the American flag in front of their house. You want to know the struggle? You've never had a struggle in your life because you're white and you have a house. You have no clue what a struggle is to actually be able to own a home. Okay. You don't know what kind of responsibility you have to have in life to actually own a home and make it your own. All right. So it just they have nothing. They have nothing going for them.
She's
intellectually.
Literally insane.
Yes. These are insane people. And these are the people that they give the bullhorns to.
She gets progressively more hysterical as her little rage trip goes on. And these are the people they have leading these little groups. It's pretty terrifying. I said, come to South Carolina. Come on in. They're not going to go out. I'm telling you right now. If that were to happen in my neighborhood, they wouldn't leave. Nobody gets to come in your neighborhood and do that. That's...
Nope. That's insanity.
Like, that's going to be their biggest mistake. They've ruined all their cities. There's nothing left to pillage and take. Let them start going into freaking suburbs. Let them. That's going to be it, Frank. It's not going to last. You know, the people that live in cities, they've been completely taken advantage of here. But, you know, there's good people living in cities.
You look on over to places like Australia. The only reason why they're starting to float things like mandatory vaccines is because they were successful in disarming their people.
Yep.
And this is the one thing. This is why for a very, very long time, it has been a war on self-reliance and self-defense in this country, because here we are. Here we are at the communist 1917 October Revolution endgame that they're trying to force into being here in the U.S. And they have not succeeded. They're beating up on their own. They're drawing blood from their own in their own cities. But they have not taken the 300 plus million firearms out of the hands of Americans. And it's not going to work like it did in Russia. It's not going to work like it's doing in places like Australia. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. They really. But then again, like I said, Tracy, they don't care. The people who are actually running this international plot, that have always run this international scheme of collectivism and one world government, they don't care about people. That crazy creature with the bullhorn. Nobody cares about her. In fact, she's more useful as a martyr dead than she is alive, making people look bad. If she was shot in the chest, she would be more useful to the cause. And that is what they're setting these people up for.
It's true. I wish it wasn't.
It's what they're saying. They've been doing it for a long time. Like, I'll keep going back to it. 2018, they really, really wanted to see some migrants get slaughtered at the border. They wanted to see it before the election.
I know. You're right. We talked about that then. Did you disappear?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it for the Friday show, Frank. It's Friday. Monday, okay. We've got Lee Smith. We'll see what happens there with the two of us. Probably just me. And then Wednesday, we have Ned. That'll be a good one.
Two amazing guests in a row.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy week. So buckle up, everyone.
Yes.
Buckle up. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val. And...
me, Beans. Make sure you guys go check out our sponsors today. NativeDEO.com/DarkToLight or promo code DarkToLight at checkout. And also make sure you check out Simply Safe, the surprise I was keeping for Frank that he ruined during our read. SimplySafe.com/DarkToLight. Free shipping, 90-day risk-free trial on Simply Safe.
I didn't ruin anything, you know, by the way. You could have just not told me it was coming.
We will see you guys again on Monday.
Later.
This is a Forking Around Town with Tracy Guida quick fix on Radio Influence.
You know, I've mentioned this before with everything with COVID and wearing masks. Well, I have a ton of friends in the hospitality industry, and I just want to just kind of remind everybody, it is so difficult to work under, you know, some of these guidelines. Wearing a mask, I mean, it's hard. It gets really hot. People in the kitchen, I mean, they're busting their butts preparing food. And when you're wearing a mask in front of a hot oven or over a stove, it really is difficult. So just if you guys, you know, continue supporting your local places, no matter where you live. But just remember, any sort of a tip really goes a long way with takeout. Some people are so incredibly generous. I love seeing stories about, you know, restaurants across the country where, you know, servers are getting presented with a $100 tip, or, you know, maybe a customer is taking care of all the people in the kitchen. It really is such a blessing when you work in hospitality and people really understand that you are working so hard for them. So just a little friendly PSA, next time you guys go out, definitely leave a tip. If you can leave a little more, perhaps for those that work in the kitchen, it would just be so appreciated, and you would really make someone's day.
Forking Around Town with Tracy Guida can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.